book. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for all that you've done for us. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct in this message. I want to be a help to the people tonight. I want them to understand that many times things happen and our news media doesn't pick up on it the way they should. And we need to be vigilant about what's going on in the world. We just pray, Lord, that you'll guide and direct in all that we do tonight and say, and it'll be for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The title of tonight's message is Things to Come. And for I want everyone to know right now that I'm not an authority on the subject of eschatology, nor do I profess to be of any great theologian on the subject, but I do take the Word of God for face value, and I want to show you from God's Word how things are coming together, even today, for the things to come in the future. You know, I feel that we need to take a look at Daniel's seventh week as we start this message tonight, and we need to look a little bit at past prophecy as to what is happening today. And believe it or not, there's a lot of prophecy that was given 14, 15, 16,000 years ago that is going to be coming true shortly. And we need to take and be conscious of it. We need to take and know what's happening and everything that way. But what we need to realize is that in the prophecy of Daniel's seventh week, if you want to turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 7, or Daniel chapter 9, we're going to be there for a little bit tonight. But in Daniel's vision that he had of his 70 weeks, it went through the what was going to happen in the time period, not only that he lived in, but in the future generations. As we know, we are right now living in the 69th week of Daniel's vision. We have not got to the 70th week yet. The 70th week is the tribulation and the millennial kingdom and so on. And what we need to realize is that we're not to the 70th week yet, but we're coming awful close. But in Daniel chapter 9, I want to look at this, and we're going to talk a little bit about this, and I got some other scripture that we're going to be looking at too. But in Daniel chapter 9, starting in verse 24, it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision of prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. And the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Here we see that there's going to be a period of time where Christ is shut off. Now, each week represents 1 year. Each week represents a year. So what we're looking at here is from the time when Cyrus, the king of Persia, gave command to go and rebuild the temple in Ezra chapter 1, the time from Christ to be born was 69 weeks of years, or 483 years. This was all fulfilled when Christ came into the world. This is how the wise men knew the time when the king was going to be born. They knew Daniel's writing. They knew what was going to happen. Now, Christ had to come, be born, die, raise again at the end of the 69th week of Daniel's prophecy. Now, after Christ ascended into heaven in 72 AD, we know that the temple was destroyed and the city was left in ruins. Now, one thing that we have to realize is what happened in 70 AD. Here we see that the temple was devastated. The Romans came in. They made a false sacrifice on the altar. They sacrificed a pig on the altar. In fact, it was a female pig on the altar. And so they desecrated the altar, and the altar could not be used for sacrifice because they could not have a red heifer to rededicate the altar. There was no red heifer. So the altar could not be rededicated. So from that point on, the sacrifices, the daily sacrifices, stopped. There were no more daily sacrifices after the Romans came into Jerusalem and destroyed it. The sacrifices totally, 100%, came to a halt. There was none. And since then, there has been none. There'd been no daily sacrifices up to this point. And we need to understand that because it's very important what we're going to be seeing here in just a little bit. And here we see that the sacrifices were discontinued. And now we're living in the 70th, or we're starting the 70th week of Daniel's vision, which will end when the son of perdition is revealed to the world. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and or chapter 2 verse 3 it says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now, what we need to realize is that there's going to be a falling away. Now, there's a lot of different discussion on this part of that verse. Some feel that the Holy Spirit is going to be taken out and he's no longer going to be upon the Gentiles. It's going to be harder for a person to get saved during the tribulation time because the Holy Spirit will not be there convicting a person's heart. And that it could very easily be what it means. Some also believe that this falling away means that people are going to fall away farther and farther from the Word of God, which I don't hold to at all. But what we need to realize is that there's going to be a falling away, and then the son of perdition is going to be revealed. Now, who is the son of perdition? Anybody know? The Antichrist, or Satan himself. So what we need to realize is that this is all going to happen. Many feel that the falling away could be the rapture of the church. And if that would be what it is, then we'll be gone before the Antichrist is revealed. And there's a lot of merit into that. And the reason I say that is that after the rapture comes, the church is taken out, all of a sudden there's going to be chaos throughout the world. There will be billions of people taken off the earth just like that. And what's going to happen to governments? What's going to happen to nations? You know, nations are going to fall. I mean, it's just going to be utter chaos. And somebody is going to step forward and say, "I can solve all the problems. Read my lips." No, not read my lips. Anyway, that was George Bush. Remember that? Anyway, what we need to realize is that someone is going to step forward and they're going to take and say that they can take care of everything. Now, turn back to Daniel chapter 9. Should have told you to keep your finger in there for a minute. Daniel chapter 9. Verse 26, it says, "And after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war, desolation and are determined. Now, we need to notice here a couple of very important things. Number one is the Messiah, or Jesus, is going to be cut off from the people of Israel. You know, it was not his doing or his choosing that this was going to happen, but it was because they did not believe he was who he said he was when he came back to earth. They did not, in fact, even today, Israel does not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They don't. They don't believe that. They believe he's still coming. It says that the city was going to be destroyed, and this happened in 70 AD by the Romans. They came into the city like a flood. They said there was thousands upon thousands upon thousands of soldiers, Roman soldiers, that came into Jerusalem. And they came in like a flood and overthrew the city of Jerusalem. Now, this was all prophesied by Daniel, and this all came to pass. We need to understand that there is a break between verse 26 and 27. This break, as confirmed by the writings of Ironside and others, believe, as I do, that this next verse is speaking of the start of the tribulation, or it's going to be what I feel after the rapture of the church. I'm a pre-rapture believer. I believe that we're going to be raptured before the tribulation. Now, I'll just say a couple things on that before we get into this verse. There are those that believe that we'll be raptured before the tribulation. Before God's wrath is started to be poured out upon the earth, the church will be taken out. And I totally believe that because of what's said in Revelation. If you go to Revelation 1, 2, and 3, you'll see that it's talking about the churches, the seven churches. You go into Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, you'll see that John is taken up immediately into heaven. There's a voice like a trumpet, and immediately he's gone. I mean, immediately he's gone. That represents the rapture of the church. And if you go into 1 Corinthians chapter 15:50, you'll see that the rapture there, and also in 1 Thessalonians. But we're not talking about that tonight. And I don't want to get you all confused, because there's going to be a lot in here tonight yet. But Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, it says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the obligation to cease. And for the overspreading of the abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consumption and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." Now, many feel, as I do, this is speaking about the tribulation time. Now, how long did we say a week was? Okay, 7 years. Okay, so here we see 7 years. He says that there's going to be a covenant given for 7 years. How long is the tribulation going to be? 7 years. Okay, he says that there's going to be a covenant given to Israel for 7 years. Now, this is very important, because after the rapture, the church goes out, there's going to be utter chaos across the world, and there's going to be many who feel that it was Israel's fault that all this took place. And all of a sudden, it says that many are going to sign this covenant, or many are going to sign this treaty. Many are going to sign, and I believe that there's going to be many nations, such as the United States, such as Russia, such as China, such as a lot of different countries, who are going to sign this treaty or this covenant with Israel for 7 years. Now, it's interesting to see here that if you look at that verse again, it says, in the covenant for many, for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the obligation to cease. Now, what has to happen before something can cease? It has to start, right? Now, what did we say happened in 70 A.D.? And the sacrifice stopped. The sacrifice is stopped. Now, it has to start up again. It has to start again before it can stop. And in Daniel, it says in the middle of the 7 weeks, or in 3.5 years after that treaty is signed, it's going to stop. Because the Antichrist does not like what's happening. And he's going to cause it to stop. So, all right. Right now, we don't have a sacrifice. There's no sacrifice going on anywhere in Israel. So it has to what? Start, doesn't it? You know, sacrifices at the present time are not being done and have not been since 70 A.D. when the pig was offered. And so here we see that it has all been in limbo, so to speak. Now, when will the sacrifices begin? Huh? Nope. Okay, now, there is a red heifer. There is a red heifer. They have a red heifer. That red heifer is without blemish. In fact, it was just checked this last weekend. I went on to a website before church today when I was at home, and they, the chief priests have checked the heifer again, and there is no blemish on this heifer at all. Now, so that heifer can be used as a sacrifice to cleanse the altar. Now, but they will not use that heifer to cleanse the altar. They'll use that heifer to cleanse the temple. Now, who can tell me, how many of you know, how many red heifers there has ever been in the history of man? Nope. Nine. There has been 9 red heifers. 9. That's it. 9. All were used for the sacrifice. Now, but when will this all take place? I received an article this week, and sometimes I receive things from people, and I think to myself, well, you know, is this true or whatever? So I did some research in it, and it is true. What it is this. The Jewish people now have a Sanhedrin. They have not had a Sanhedrin until 3 years ago. They went through the archives. Now, you remember me saying that somewhere, somehow, someone is keeping track of people's genealogy? They are. They found people who were of Jewish descendants who could be the Sanhedrin. Not only did they do that, but they also went through the genealogies and they found people who were direct descendants of Aaron, one of which is now the high priest of Israel. Now, this is very important. People don't understand how this works or anything. You need to go into the Old Testament. You need to read the book of Exodus. You need to read the book of Leviticus. And you'll see how God set all this up. Now, here we see that We now have a Sanhedrin. We now have a high priest over the over Israel. We have our own high priest, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And now they have made a call, or they've notified the 70 nations. Now, there are more than 70 nations in the world, aren't there? Why was it they would notify 70 nations? That was the known nations when the Lord was on the earth, was 70. That was it. But what they've done is they've notified every nation upon the face of the earth that this is going to take place. And now, what we need to realize is that yeah, we're not under the law, we're not under anything like that, but we need to realize that this is going to affect us anyway. Now, people say, well, when is this all going to take place? This is all going to take place tomorrow. This is going to take place tomorrow. And you may say, well, how do I know it's going to be tomorrow? Because tomorrow is the last day of Hanukkah. And they have said that they are going to do this on the last day of Hanukkah. The altar that they have is 9 foot square, 5 foot high, with a ramp going up to the top, just as it was in the days of Ezekiel. What we need to realize is that they have fashioned this exactly as it was in the Old Testament. This is the actual altar of sacrifice which will be used in the new temple. Now, you may say, well, there's no temple. Yeah, there is no temple. However, the plans for the temple have been laid out. In fact, there was a picture of President Trump when he was in Jerusalem at the Western Wall, and there was a rabbi that had a table, and they had blueprints laid out in front of him, and he was looking at the new temple, which is ready to be built. Now, this afternoon I was reading an article, and right now, as we speak, they are cutting stone in a rock quarry. They have a lot of it done already that is ready to be moved from this rock quarry to Jerusalem to build the new temple. They said once they get the rest of the rock cut, that within 1 year they can have this temple rebuilt. Wow. What's that? This is the original rock quarry that was used when Solomon built the first temple. The reason they know that is they just unearthed this within the last 3 years. They just found it. They were doing an excavation and an excavation site, and they found this rock quarry. The reason they know it was during Solomon is because of the markings on the stones. The stones are all marked where they need to go. Many of the archaeologists figure that there was another temple, or the rock for part of the original temple, that was cut that they didn't use. But they're ready to use it if they needed it. And they said there's almost enough rock that's already cut, hand cut. This is all hand cut. No machines cut this rock. It's all hand done. And all they have to do is load it and move it. And I mean, I'll tell you, folks, we're living in some exciting times now. But you know, what could happen though if this dedication goes on? The Muslim world have already said that if this dedication goes on, that there's going to be a holy war. They've already said that. They said if you allow this to go on and them to be able to dedicate the altar of sacrifice, there will be a holy war. Now, what does that mean for us?
Well, there's going to be bad times here. There's a lot of
Could very easily be bad times here too. We don't know. But what we need to realize is that God's in control, and we're getting closer and closer to the end times. Now, you know, all of the countries of the world have been notified that this is going to take place. We don't know exactly the time yet, because it's just going to, they're going to take and say, okay, boom, we're going to do it. They're going to have that altar set up. They can set that altar up within 30 minutes. That's how it's put together. They can just, boom, it'll be together. They can do the sacrifice. Now, if they don't know for sure if the lamb is going to be sacrificed on the site where the altar is or off the site. They don't know yet. If it's on the site, then the Muslims are really going to be upset, because it's going to be right in view of the Mecca. And so what we need to realize is that we're living in some very, very exciting time. But what does this mean biblically? What does it mean biblically? I'm glad you asked that question. You know, I believe the new temple must either be built, or the process of being built will be at hand before the rapture. Turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 43. Ezekiel 43. Ezekiel 43. Starting in verse number 10, it says, "Thou son of man, show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house and the fashion thereof, and the goings out of, going out thereof, and the coming in thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all of the ordinances thereof, and all of the forms thereof, and all of the laws thereof, and write it in their sight, and they may keep the whole form thereof, and all the ordinance thereof, and do them. This is the law of the house upon the top of the mountain of the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house." Now, Ezekiel was told by God that he was to take and show Israel how foolish they were with the house that they built, because it was not built the way that it should be. And Ezekiel had to tell the people that they had built the temple wrong. Now, turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 11. Now, this is very interesting in the book of Revelation chapter 11. And these two scriptures go together. Revelation chapter 11, starting in verse 1, it says, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. Now, there's an awful lot of people that believe that this is where the rapture is supposed to be. I don't. Because that means that it's at the end, or towards the end of the tribulation. Now, what we need to realize is this, is that somebody asked me one time, they said, "Well, are you pre, are you mid, are you pre-wrath, or are you post?" I said, "I'm pre-rapture." They go, "Why are you pre-rapture?" I said, "Because I don't have anywhere big enough to to store 7 years of food and water and everything else I need. Amen? Because that doesn't have to happen. We'd have to have 7 years of food stored up if the rapture didn't come until after the tribulation, because people aren't going to be able to buy, sell, trade, or anything else unless they receive the mark. If you receive the mark, you're not going to heaven. It's just that easy. Now, what's that? Yeah, amen. Now, John was given a reed like a rod to measure the temple which was standing in the future. Now, turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21. This is not the same temple that is given in Revelation 21. And I'm going to show you why. This first temple that he was to measure was not the same temple that is given in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, starting in verse 15, it says, "And he said that talked with me that had the golden reed to measure the city." What was he given? A what? Golden reed. "And the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city layeth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, and the length and the breadth and the height were equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of man that is of the angel." Now, this temple was much more glorious than the temple that he first measured. And the reason I say that is, this temple had gold and everything else in it. And the first one, it does not say that was the way it was. Now, this temple was different than the one in Revelation chapter 11. And this could not have been the same temple, because if you notice, what was the measurement of the one that John was told to measure the first time with just the reed? How big was it? We're not told. We're not told the size of the first temple. All he said is, don't measure the outer court, because the outer court was for the Gentiles. Now, what we need to realize is this, is that these were two separate temples. Now, when John was writing this, John wrote this in about 80 AD, right around there, on the Isle of Patmos. Now, when was Jerusalem destroyed? 70 AD, about 10 years earlier. Now, did John know the size of the temple that was in Jerusalem at that time period? He did, didn't he? Because he was there all the time, wasn't he? Jesus taught in the temple. The disciples were in the temple. They knew the size of that temple. The temple that he measured was not that temple, because he knew the size of it. Now, the temple that the angel wanted to, the first one in chapter 11, was a temple in the future, and that is the temple that we're looking at going to be building, they're going to be building here shortly. Now, what we need to realize is, once they start building this temple, it's not going to be good for a lot of people, because the Muslims are just going to go absolutely crazy. They are. They're just going to go berserk. But what does this all mean to us as Christians? You know, as we see things unfold in the Middle East, we need to be looking up and waiting for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we need to be trying to win as many as we possibly can to the Lord before it's too late. Listen, our time is short. And it's getting shorter all the time. You know, the more we see happening, you know, the closer we're going to be to the rapture of the church and to the impending tribulation coming. You know, we're living in very exciting times right now, believe it or not. You know, one day there's going to be a shout, there's going to be a trumpet sound, and we're going to be gone. And I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to that day. You know, what did the bride look for? Bridegroom. Did she know when he was coming? No. That's what we are. We are the bride. The church is the bride. The bridegroom is going to come at an hour we least expect it. Oh, yeah, 7 years from the start. You know, are we ready, though, for that trumpet to sound? If it would happen tonight, would we be ready to be caught up in the clouds to forever be with the Lord? You know, are we ready to take and see the Lord and hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? You know, in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 7, it says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of this prophecy of this book." Revelation 22:12 says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Revelation 22:20 says, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." You know, listen, we need to be ready. We need to be looking up, because we do not know the hour or the time. All we know is the signs. All we know is the signs. You know, as I was doing this, I got to thinking, well, you know, I guess I never really thought about the sacrifices and how the sacrifices had to start up again, because they're going to have to stop at the middle of the tribulation. And I thought, well, when will they start? Well, we don't know. If they dedicate the altar tomorrow, the daily sacrifices can start at any time. But if they dedicate the altar, then they can start the construction of the temple. Well, we don't know for sure. They could have it done quicker than that. So what we need to realize is that the Lord Jesus can come back at any time. You know, all we need to do is to be looking up and just saying, "Come, Lord Jesus, I'm ready." Amen. And I'll tell you what, it's interesting, and I don't ever put dates on anything other than what I know for sure. And from what I read and what I'm seeing, they could very easily dedicate the altar of sacrifice tomorrow. And if that would happen, that will make a way for the daily sacrifices to start up again. And if the daily sacrifices start up, they're going to be rebuilding that temple very quickly. Yes, sir. We don't know. That's one thing we don't know. We have no idea when the rapture is going to be. Huh? What? No. No. Yeah, it could be before we leave this building tonight. Nope. All we're talking about is stuff that's going to happen in the future. Right. What's that? What season is it? What season is it? What season is it? Hanukkah. Hanukkah. It's the end of Hanukkah. You know, so... What's that? Yeah. Amen. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for all you've done for us. I just thank you for this, that we were able to go through tonight. It's exciting. We're living in exciting times where we know that one day there's going to be a shout, there's going to be a trumpet sound, and we're going to be gone. And we just thank you so much for allowing us to have eternal life. Father, I just pray now that you'll continue to guide us, direct us. Be with us, I pray. I pray that I pray for the peace of in Jerusalem as we're commanded to pray. And we just pray, Lord, that you take and guide and direct in all that we do. We love you. I just pray now that you'll continue to guide and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, you're dismissed.